Good evening. Whenever you hear or read the words, once upon a time, you know you're about to hear what's probably going to be an amazing story about a really amazing person, right? I use King Arthur, for example. If we read once upon a time, King Arthur, you expect some great things. King Arthur is going to save all of England, because that's what King Arthur does. That's what we expect from him. But we also expect great things from their descendants, like the grandson of King Arthur. Wouldn't we expect something from him? If we were to pick up a book about the life of the grandson of King Arthur, maybe we would probably expect him to strap on his armor too and go for a quest. But what we see in life and even in the stories is that doesn't always happen. Not everyone lives up to their perceived potential. Life has its flops. In Genesis chapter 10, in the very first verse, we read, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. And then it goes on to tell of the sons of Japheth, of Ham, and of Shem. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but I would recommend to pick that up and look into it later. It's very really cool stuff to read. But it's easy to get lost in kind of like a haze of names and kind of get lost in all of this. But there's some great stuff. This is a chapter of potential. What we see here is the potential for all of the people who are going to live on earth for the rest of time. Through Japheth, we see the potential for all the Europeans. We see the potential for the Greeks. We see the potential for the Gauls. Through Ham, we see the potential for the Egyptians, for the Ethiopians, the rest of the Africans. Through Shem, we see the potential for the Persians, for the Jewish people. Also, we see potential for people. We see the potential for, like, these are the ancestors of King Arthur, like the King Arthur out of legend form. These are the ancestors of George Washington. But more importantly, we have the potential here for Abraham, and for David, and for Elijah, and for Moses, and for Peter, for Paul, for Alvin, for Mavity. But we also have the potential for flops. There's plenty of Jezebels in history as well. So what is the difference between these? But one set of people, and I'll leave you to guess which, tries to live up to their predecessor. Now Noah was a faithful man. He was a man who was righteous when nobody else was. But it's not Abraham I'm talking about. Or it's not Noah that I'm talking about. Excuse me. Adam, our primary ancestor. Not a whole lot said about him, but he was at one point. He was God's ideal creation. It's not Adam I'm talking about. All of the men and women who took their lives and actually did something with it, made something of it. They are the men and women who tried to live up to the Father from whom we are truly all descended, God. Now that's a tall order. That's different than being King Arthur's grandson or being like the son of Michael Jordan or something like that. But were the men and women who did this, were they some sort of superhumans? No, they were people. But they were people who tried to live their life for God. And they were history's most successful people. There have been thousands of books, thousands of them, that have been written on success and how to have success in this life. Could it really be that easy? Yes, it can be. Living life for God. What we also see in this chapter of potential here in Genesis chapter 10 is for the potential for you and I as well, which is pretty neat. I can't really trace my ancestors back all that far. I don't know when my ancestors came into this nation or anything like that, but I can look at Genesis chapter 10 and I can know where I came from. Thinking about the genealogy that we read of Jesus in Luke chapter 3, in verse 36 we read, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And from Noah on forward, you know, all of that is different, but from Noah on back, that's our lineage. Now what has been revealed to us is that apart from Christ, you have no inheritance in that lineage. But we who are in Christ can again take on the title of true, bona fide children of God. Now that's a lot of perceived potential. You would expect a lot from the descendants of King Arthur. What should people expect of us? Well, God expects us to live up to that name. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, something to know about this potential of ours is that it's not just perceived potential. What the teachers taught me, and I would assume that they're correct, is something that is bigger has the bigger potential, right? So if you had this big old huge boulder that was sitting on top of a hill, that has a whole lot of potential. But if you were to change that boulder of stone into like foam, that would change, right? It would look like it has a whole lot of potential, but it really wouldn't. And maybe that's what we think that we're talking about. Like, we're children of God, but do we always feel like we really have that potential as children of God? Well, let's talk about another stone for a moment. A stone that had more potential behind it than any other in history. A stone that waited 3 days. 3 days. With unimaginable force and power behind it. And then the Son of God burst forth from behind it into resurrected life and glory. Now you want to talk about someone who had a whole lot of potential. Who had a name to live up to. God had spent the entire Bible talking about Jesus and talking about His coming. When He came, He shattered expectations, and He did so to shatter our expectations too. We don't have to look at Christ and say, I can't ever live up to that. He gives us the ability to try. He makes it so that when God tells us, "Be holy, for I am holy," it's not some kind of cruel joke. Like we can actually do that. Our potential is not just perceived potential. We are not just stones of foam. We are rocks that are overflowing with power because the rock of Jesus Christ is within us. Paul describes our potential in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 41. "There is one glory of sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body." Verse 49. "Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' Praise God. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Well, the sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We exist as a seed of hope, just waiting to erupt into this glory. But we also need to notice in the next verse that potential needs to be used for something while we wait. Verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Same thought in 1 Peter. The Lord says, be holy, and that's something for now. Every day, every single day, we have an opportunity to take this great potential that we have been given in Christ Jesus and put that potential into action. Now, something teachers also taught me about potential is that potential doesn't turn into action unless an outside force acts on it, until somebody pushes the stone. And we see that in Genesis chapter 10. We see this potential for the people going into action in verse 32. "These are the families of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, by their nations, and out of these nations they were separated on the earth after the flood." And in the next chapter we see how that happens. They tried to build this tower up to God, the Tower of Babel, and then God instigates them separating by confusing their languages. And in a way, maybe we would think that it would be nice for God to do that. If He forced us to use our potential, if He pushed the rock for us, pushed the stone for us, but He's probably not going to. We are going to have to decide to go on our own quest. But the quest that we are called to is not something that is out of our reach. We're not called to strap on our armor and go save the world. We are called to gird our loins with the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, taking up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're called to put that on, and we are called to live for God. That's what we're called to do. And by doing that, we have a chance to do something that our ancestors only dreamed of, although they did have it all wrong. They wanted to build a tower to reach up to God. But we are building a temple for Him to dwell in. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. There is no once upon a time for us. The beginning of our story is, in the beginning, God created, and now we are all here today, those of us in Christ, as descendants of God. That's something we should live up to and realize that God gives us the ability to. If you this evening still need to put on the name of Christ, there is no opportunity better. Right now is the best time for that. Please be saved. Come forward. Be baptized in the name of Christ while we stand and as we sing.